They're still leaking? Does the Pope eat spaghetti? How bad? Craig clumped up toward the cockpit and slid into the right-hand seat. I gotta do some calculations. It ain't good, though, I can tell you that, without a computer. Trumbull saw that Craig was more disgruntled than worried. We can get along without the fuel cells, he thought. Hell, we've been getting along without them for a week now. Still, it'd be good to get that damned red light off the board. The newest fuel cells back on Earth use nanotube filaments to store the hydrogen, Craig was muttering. Nanotubes work, partner. They soak up molecular hydrogen like a sponge and hold onto it like a vise. But all we got is these leaky, damned doers. The sun was nearing the horizon, Dex saw. A thin patch of cloud high above was already reflecting brilliant red highlights. We're going to have a beautiful sunset, Wiley. Craig looked up from the panel's computer display. Yep, a pretty one. Reminds me of Houston. We used to get some beautiful sunsets there, thanks to all the industrial waste the refineries poured into the air. Trumbull laughed. No factories out here. No, but... Craig's voice petered off into thoughtful silence. What's the matter, Wiley? Those clouds. At that instant, the communications chime sounded. Trumbull tapped the on button, and Stacy Dezhurova's somber face appeared on the panel screen. Latest weather report, she said, looking worried. New dust storm has started. This time in the northern hemisphere. Where? Trumbull asked. Exactly where you are heading, came her reply. Evening, Sol 56. Jamie stared at the weather map on the screen. He had superimposed the position of Trumbull and Craig's rover, and the route they had to follow to reach the Pathfinder. The storm's going to roll right over them, he saw. What do you want me to do? Stacy Dezhurova asked from her chair at the comm console. Jamie looked at her. She looked concerned. They're more than halfway to the Pathfinder site, he said, thinking aloud. If I tell them to turn around and head back to the generator, the storm will overtake them anyway. So you think they should just keep on going? The storm's heading east to west. They're going west to east. They could drive through it. Assuming they can drive when the storm hits them. If not, they'll have to sit still until it passes them. Dezhurova nodded, her normally gloomy face positively morose. If only we could predict how big the storm's going to get, Jamie muttered. Damn. We've been studying Martian weather for more than 20 years now, and we still can't make a decent forecast. Stacy made a weak grin. They have been studying terrestrial weather for almost 2 centuries, and the meteorologists still can't make a decent forecast on Earth, Jamie. It might not be as bad as it looks, he said, remembering the storm he had endured. If they button up tight, they'll be all right. But what if the storm grows? The big ones take weeks to clear up, months. With a grimace, Jamie said, This one doesn't look that bad. So far. Dezhurova countered, The one in the southern hemisphere hung in for a solid week. I know, he admitted, staring again at the weather map as if he could force it to reveal its secrets if he scowled at it hard enough. Dezhurova fell silent, letting Jamie work out his thoughts for himself. At last he got to his feet and said, We'll thrash it out over dinner. Let everybody chip in their ideas. Their ideas were almost non-existent. They talked the situation over through dinner, mulling through one possibility after another. It all boiled down to a choice between letting Craig and Trumbull continue into the storm or ordering them to turn back to the generator and allowing the storm to catch up with them. They're way too far out to get back here before the storm overtakes them, said Rodriguez. They're going to get caught in it one way or the other. Dex won't want to turn around, Vijay said with firm certainty. He'll want to push ahead, no matter what. If only we knew how big the storm will grow, Trudy Hall said. We're trying to make a decision rather in the blind, aren't we? The storm will grow, Fuchida predicted. It might even reach us here. Here? Trudy looked suddenly alarmed. It's a strong possibility, said Fuchida. He was sitting with his bad leg propped on an empty chair, the ankle wrapped tightly with an elastic bandage. Are you a meteorologist, too? Stacy asked the Japanese biologist, straight-faced. Yes, I am. Fuchida replied with dignity. Then he added, "When I call up the meteorology program on my laptop," Rodriguez pointed out, "the biggest problem is the solar cells. If the dust covers them, the rover loses its primary power source."
"So they go to the batteries," Hall said.
"For how long? Their fuel cells aren't working right, remember? Their backup power system isn't reliable." Trudy looked surprised.
"I had forgotten that."
"They can't sit in the dark for more than 48 hours. 50 tops," Rodriguez said. "They can stretch it if they power down," said Jamie.
"How far?"
"They gotta keep the heaters going, and that's what takes up most of the juice." Stacy Dejerova said,
"If they go back to the generator, they can refill the fuel cells as much as they need to."
"That's right," Jamie said, pushing himself up from the table. "But my instinct is to let them continue ahead. It's the shortest path out of the storm."
"Unless the storm grows much larger and stronger," Hall said.
"If it grows that much, they're in trouble no matter what they do." "And the dust might damage the solar cells," Rodriguez added gloomily. "Degrade them to the point where they can't provide enough power to run the rover even after the storm's over."
"Now that's a cheerful thought," Hall said.
The others nodded glum agreement. Jamie went to the comm center again and sat at the main console. All the others crowded in behind him. As he called to the rover, Jamie felt the heat and tension in the little cubicle. Too many bodies pressed together, too many fears building up. "Mars is a gentle world," he reminded himself as he waited for the rover to reply. "It doesn't want to harm us." "No," the other side of his mind replied, "not unless you do something stupid, like get caught in a dust storm 3,000 clicks from home." Craig's scruffy face filled the screen. From what Jamie could see, he was still driving the rover through the lengthening shadows of nightfall. Jamie went through the situation and the two possible courses of action with Craig. Then he asked, "Possum, what do you think? Which way do you want to go?" Before Craig could answer, Dex Trumbo pivoted the camera to himself and said, "We're pushing on. No sense turning tail." Patiently, Jamie said, "Dex, I asked Possum, not you. He's in charge." "Wiley and I agree," Trumbo insisted. "We want to keep on going and get the hell out of this storm. Turning back would be a waste of time." "It might be the safer course to take," Jamie said. "You could make it back to the generator before the storm overtook you and ride it out there where you're assured of fuel, water, and oxygen." "We're going forward," Trumbull snapped. "Possum, what do you have to say about it?" Jamie asked again. The camera view swiveled back to Craig's jowly face.
"First off, I'd rather be called Wiley than Possum. Second, I agree with Dex. Let's push ahead and get through this blow."
Jamie sat digesting that for a few silent moments. He could feel the others stirring nervously behind him. "You're sure?" he said, stalling for time to think.
"Yep," Craig replied.
It would be safer for them to camp by the generator, Jamie told himself. But if the storm lasts for a week or more, they'll run out of food and have to start back. Without getting the Pathfinder hardware, their whole trek would be for nothing. That's what's eating at Dex. To go all the way out there and return empty-handed. That's what's fueling his fire. On the other hand, he thought, what if they get killed out there? Is the hardware so important that I should let them risk their lives over it? Trumbull swung the camera back to his own face. His ragged, dark beard made him look truculent, belligerent, as if he were daring Jamie to contradict him. Well, he demanded, what are your orders, Chief? The sarcastic stress he laid on the word orders was obvious. Keep on going, Jamie heard himself say. And good luck. Trumbo looked surprised. Vijay followed Jamie into his cubicle when they all filed out of the comm center. What the hell, Jamie thought. If the others didn't realize we've been sleeping together, they know it now. Later, cupped against one another in the narrow bunk, she whispered to him,
You did the right thing, Jamie.
Did I?
Dex wouldn't have obeyed an order to turn around. He would have defied you openly.
Jamie sighed in the darkness. Yes, I suppose he would have.
It was smart to avoid an open conflict.
Maybe.
You don't think so?
It's not important, he said.
But it is.
She propped herself on one elbow and looked down at him.
Your authority shouldn't be challenged. That does